Chapter 18, The Trial. The plan was simple. We would row a bit to be certain no one had an unhealthy interest in us. Then we would pick up Provis and find a spot to wait out the night. In the morning, we would flag down the steamer headed to Hamburg. If they refused to pick us up, there was another headed for Rotterdam that should work as well. Once aboard, we should be safe. I felt some relief at the plan finally being underway. I was of little use, but I found the fresh morning air brought a sense of hope. The river was busy with small boats. Time passed quickly, and soon I spotted the mill pond stairs. We touched the stairs lightly for a moment, and Provis was aboard. I scanned the water for any sign of being suspected. Provis was the least anxious of any of us. "If all goes well, you will be free and safe in a few hours," I said. He drew a long breath.
"I hope so."
We rode throughout the day. When dark settled on us, we looked for a lonely tavern to tie up. In the darkness, we jumped at every noise, certain we were finally being followed. We found a very dirty public house that would rent us two rooms. We pulled the boat ashore for the night and went in. We ate and slept and planned what time to put the boat back in the water. We decided to wait until within an hour of the time the steamer should pass. We put in the water then to limit our time out in the open. When we set out the next day, our only concern was a galley rowing along the river. We drew up alongside it, as it seemed unwise to be seen avoiding it. The men in the boat stared at us. In the middle of the boat, a man sat bundled up, much as Provis was. We rowed alongside one another until we spotted the steamer. It grew very near us. Suddenly, someone from the galley cried out,
"That man in the cloak is Abel Magwitch. I call upon him to surrender and all of you in the boat to assist."
They ran the galley against us and grabbed hold of our small boat. I saw Provis stand up and grab the cloak from the bundled man in the galley. It was Compeyson. The men wrestled, bridging out the two boats until our small boat was overturned. Startup Herbert and I splashed in the water. Eventually, I spotted Provis as he was hauled into the galley and shackled. There was nothing we could do, so we swam to shore and made our way back to the public house. Soon, the galley tied up at the public house, too. Magwitch was injured and needed care. Apparently, he attacked Compeyson again and had driven them both overboard. They fought more under the water. Magwitch said he was then struck by the passing steamer. He remembered nothing else, though obviously his captor had retrieved him. As I held his hand, he smiled at me.
"My boy will have to go on and be a gentleman without me," he said. "You should go now and not be seen with me."
"I'll not leave your side unless forced," I said.
And
so I stayed. There was little doubt as to Magwitch's fate, only whether he would live long enough to be executed. Compeyson was eventually found. He had drowned. During the horrible weeks of waiting for Magwitch's fate, Herbert told me he had to leave London. He was to open a new bunch of business in Cairo. He offered me a position there as a clerk. I told him I could not leave Magwitch and asked if the offer would remain open for a while. Herbert agreed. Magwitch grew weaker as his trial approached. He had broken ribs and injured his lungs. His breathing grew worse and worse. He lay in the prison infirmary and I was allowed to visit for a few hours each day.
The day for the trial came. Magwitch was hauled into court and propped up in a chair.
There was no doubt that he had returned to England and that returning meant death. His trial was brief. He returned to the infirmary to await the carrying out of his sentence.
I continued to visit every day.
Then one day, he gripped my hand with some of his old enthusiasm.
"Thank you, dear boy. You've never deserted me."
Then he seemed to lose his strength at once, and I knew the time had come. I leaned close to him. "You had a child once, whom you loved and lost," I said softly. He squeezed my hand to show he had heard. "She lived and grew to be a lady, and very beautiful. I love her." With that, he raised my hand to his lips and kissed it. Then his hand went slack, and he was gone.